Let's shoot the breeze with the lovely Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm much better than I have been the last couple of weeks. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you very much. I know you've sent me quite a few messages over the last fortnight while I've been ill, and I appreciate that very, very much, just checking in on the old PT to see how he was going.
Just making sure, trying to work out if I'm going to lose my radio spot or not.
No, not at all. Not at all. Even if I disappear off the face of the earth.
Kidding.
Sorry?
I'm kidding. I was caring about you. I'm a person.
Thank you. There's something that you and I care about a lot, and that is Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And I'd like to make my Christmas bigger and better, and apparently to do this, I've got to learn from what the Americans do when it comes to Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
Well, yes, and basically the end result is that you won't have a great Christmas this year.
Oh, no.
But next year, if you have a low-key Christmas this year, you might have a better Christmas next year.
Right. Can you explain this for me?
So America is going into their Thanksgiving period, and they're really not taking the whole COVID thing that seriously. They're actually increasing the travel this week. They are, you know, from statistics point of view, they're actually going to have more than 40% of them a gathering of 10 or more people. So it's unlikely that they're going to have, a Thanksgiving that actually does what experts tell them to do, which in terms of distancing and all of that. So we're probably going to see a spike in cases, especially around December the 6th. So what that teaches us in Australia is that when it comes to Christmas, and it's only a month away, it's really important to remember that while it's been a long time coming, while this has been difficult, we still are in that space of we don't know enough about COVID to just throw it out the window and have a great time with our friends and family. We need to still comply, and we need to actually still keep things low-key until next year.
So we still need to do the right thing is what we're saying.
Yeah, and I think that we just need to remember that with Americans at the moment are almost acting like, oh, I'm so sick of COVID, we've had the election, I'm just going to have a great Thanksgiving. It doesn't work that way.
Well, they do their own thing over in America, especially with the president in charge. You know what that's like.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, they're going to pay the price for that. I mean, that's why their cases are so ridiculous, and that's why they're having such a hard time flattening the curve, and that's why we've done better.
And that's why they've got so many people dying of COVID-19 as well. Hey, Alex, just chuffing right along here. Philosophy. I love philosophy, and apparently replacing traditional therapy for some with a trend in hiring counsellors that have studied philosophy being deemed important.
This is really cool. So we've seen an increase. The National Philosophical Counselling Association is talking about teachings of great thinkers that no one casually reads. So very few people casually read, you know, Jean-Paul Sartre, right? But there is the idea that you can actually create an understanding around your own life and trying to unpack your own despair or unpack the things that are difficult to understand when you're not just being counselled, but you're actually looking back at great philosophers and their words and the way that they viewed life. So, you know, the whole life is a pointless pursuit, you know, trying to think about how despair actually impacts, an individual. It's becoming more and more important. And I think that in 2020, people actually feel a sense of comfort in that. And I personally, I mean, I studied Russian literature, and what I loved about that was at the end of every book, it was just so bleak and real. It wasn't like a Jane Austen happy ending, which actually I found comfort in.
You found the bleak ending comforting rather than the happy ending?
Because it was almost like, if you can face that and overcome that, you can almost do anything. Whereas this happy ending Jane Austen thing, for me personally, and I know that I'm not, you know, a lot of people don't feel this way, but it was almost like this unrealistic expectation that if things get bad, they will just suddenly have a happy ending, which just doesn't happen in real life. And I think if you're going through a difficult period, philosophers are actually a great way to unpack your own feelings and process those feelings.
Yeah, I get that. I guess the euphoria, if I can put it that way and use that word, the euphoria of a happy ending doesn't last that long. But you're right, if you can get through a bleak ending and get over that and see life for what it is, then maybe you're in a better place than what your counterpart is with the happy ending. Anyway.
And I think there's just something, actually something really beautiful in that, as bleak as that sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of bleak, 2020 has just been that. And if you can't face the news anymore, Alex Chelios, you're suffering from what?
An epistemic exhaustion. So basically the idea that you're sick and tired of what you're being surrounded by and the amount of knowledge and facts and data and everything that's coming towards you. There's three areas that this is really challenging for people. One is uncertainty. So 2020, obviously, you know, a lot of people don't know what's happening. They have questions around their employment, their safety, their health, all of those things. Then there's polarization. So logging onto social media, seeing the arguments about the election, seeing the arguments about whether or not masks work, you know, debating those things. And then, of course, fighting and misinformation. So, you know, the fake news, trying to work out if a source is credible, all of those things combined are making people feel overwhelmed. And understandably, and I think you and I, we work in the media, so we're almost a little bit, I think immune to it in a way. But, yeah, I think you and I are both exhausted too from this year.
I've been suffering epistemic exhaustion for quite some time, let me tell you, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's an exhaustion of unpacking knowledge. You're tired of trying to gain or share information under difficult circumstances. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is because this isn't going to go away, but I think it's about how we maybe unpack this information. And also, I do think it's about having boundaries in place, especially in regards to how you engage on social media. I mean, I myself have become a little bit more limited in some of the conversations I have on social media just because I'm... you know, overwhelmed with my own internal monologue.
Yeah, and it's not only we that work in the media nowadays, Alex, because once upon a time there was only radio, there was only print, there was only TV to get your media knowledge. But now with social media and the advent of the internet, I mean, Windows, for example, is 35 today. I mean, it's applicable to everyone because it's at our fingertips and we're bombarded with it every moment of the day.
But I think that's why this is an issue that's raising its head now in 2020. Because I think 5 years ago, you could have just turned... Well, not 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, you could have just turned off the news. Now, you can't even engage with your friends without being confronted by some news item.
Yeah, absolutely. Epistemic exhaustion.
Epistemic.
Oh, sorry. Gee, no wonder I'm exhausted. Alex Chelios, thebigsmoke.com.au. Have a wonderful week.